Well, good morning and welcome to the Reformed Baptist Church and our morning adult Sunday school. We've been going through the 1689 Confession of Faith together, chapter 8 on Christ the Mediator, and we're pleased to have you join us. We are looking at paragraph 5 this morning, where it says, "The Lord Jesus, by his perfect obedience and sacrifice of himself, which he, through the eternal Spirit, once offered up to God, hath fully satisfied the justice of God and procured reconciliation. He purchased an everlasting inheritance in the kingdom of heaven for all those whom the Father hath given to him." Now we've taken a look at those men in the Old Testament who were significant types of our Lord Jesus Christ, in terms of his being a mediator, in terms of his offering sacrifices. In the case of Melchizedek, we saw that when he came to see Abraham, after Abraham had defeated the kings who captured Lot and took away the people and the goods from the five kings, Melchizedek brought out bread and wine, and though he offered no sacrifice, he did perfectly picture, by presenting these elements to Abraham, that his success in battle was all due to Christ. Indeed, that all of his salvation from sin and the fulfillment of every promise that had been given to him by God would be through the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, who would offer himself up as a sacrifice on the cross, so that not only Abraham, but also all of God's elect people would be most definitely and certainly saved. Now today I want to take a look at the Lord Jesus Christ's priesthood in terms of its being distinct from the Levitical priesthood, because his was the power of an endless life. So I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6, if you have a Bible handy, and verses 11 to 28. It says here, "Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise according to the order of Melchizedek, and not be called according to the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, of necessity there is also a change of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, from which no man has officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident if in the likeness of Melchizedek there arises another priest, who has come not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. For he testifies, 'You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek.' For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness, for the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope, through which we draw near to God. And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath, by him who said to him, 'The Lord has sworn, and he will not relent,' 'You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing, but he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all, when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word of the oath which came after the law appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. Now, there are certain reasons which are given here in these verses as to why the Levitical priesthood was imperfect and had eventually to be done away with when Christ came. And the first reason was because under the law, under the Old Testament dispensation, the people of Israel, God's covenant nation, received the law, both the ceremonial and the moral law, but in terms of the priestly ministry, the ceremonial in particular. The ceremonial law had much to do with the priests offering the sacrifices to God, which would typify the greater and absolute perfect sacrifice of Christ of himself for his people's sins. And it says here in verse 11, however, that if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, what further need was there that another priest should arise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron? So Aaron was a high priest, and our Lord Jesus Christ was and is the great high priest of our faith. There was indeed a great need for another priest to arise according to the order of Melchizedek, because those priests of the tribe of Levi had become an order by the law, it says here in our text, of a fleshly commandment, it says in verse 16. So what does this mean, the law of a fleshly commandment? It's a good question. And the answer is that the Levitical priests were really quite unable by their ministrations to actually communicate to the people of the Jews that they were ministering to the reality of spiritual blessings, the spiritual blessings which their sacrifices represented. Only God himself could do that, and the reality of the justification and the sanctification of the worshiper, or the one that would draw near to God and find God and know God, could only take place based upon the New Testament, New Covenant work of Christ. But as we saw in a previous study, that all the salvation blessings which ever came to the people of the Jews under the Old Covenant came to them by their being applied to them retroactively based upon what the Lord Jesus would do when he came and fulfilled the law on our behalf and laid down his life as a sacrifice for sin. So there was a need, it says here, that another priest from another order, that of Aaron and Levi, arise, something different from them, according to the order, it says here, of Melchizedek. The Lord Jesus would be from the tribe of Judah and not from Levi, and thus it says, of necessity, there would be a change of the law. Verse 12, and in our thinking about what the law of a fleshly commandment was, we should understand that all the ministrations which took place were done by these priests by their following the strict and particular commandments which were laid out in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers concerning themselves, concerning the tabernacle, concerning their garments, concerning that they, the way that they offered up these sacrifices, and many other particulars. The sacrifices that were offered were fleshly sacrifices. They were beasts and birds, and they were bulls and rams and lambs and doves. And the priesthood itself, it's saying here, was carnal, because it was only continued by carnal propagation, that is, through the priests and Levites having sons who would eventually then take over in the office of the priesthood from their fathers in due time in each successive generation. Indeed, the whole Jewish system of ordinances, it's saying here in these verses, was carnal and typical in its significance from the beginning of its institution. Hebrews chapter 9, and verses 6 to 10 say to us here and now, when these things had been thus prepared, the priests always went into the first part of the tabernacle, performing the services. But into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance, the Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time, in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to conscience, concerned only with foods and drinks, various washings and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation. So there it is, fleshly ordinances, carnal ordinances were imposed upon the Old Testament people of God, the Hebrews, until the time of Reformation came, when Christ would fulfill all of these fleshly ordinances and typical ordinances, these shadowy types. And in doing so, there would be an annulling, it says here, the former commandment because of its unprofitableness, its weakness. It says in verse 18 of chapter 7 of Hebrews, for the law made nothing perfect. So there were many priests, it says in verse 23, because they were prevented, that is of chapter 7, because they were prevented by death from continuing. And these priests were sinners themselves who needed to be redeemed and saved from their own sins. The high priest once a year went in alone into the tabernacle, into the second part, or the Holy of Holies, but he did not go without blood, the blood of a lamb, the blood of the sacrifice, which he offered for himself, first of all, and for the sins of the people committed in ignorance. He offered it for himself so that he wouldn't die going into the Holy of Holies, the most holy place, the place set apart by God in a very special and particular way to represent heaven, that which what Christ would enter into himself after he died on the cross and was raised from the dead and appeared in heaven on our behalf. The Holy Spirit was indicating that the way into the actual holiest place of all, I'm saying, into heaven, was not yet made manifest, not while the first tabernacle was still standing. And all of these things were a parable, it says here. They were a figure. They were a figure, an illustration of something that was coming, when Christ would come and lay down his life as the ultimate fulfillment and sacrifice for our sins. Now, secondly, the reasons that Christ's priesthood was and is still to this day and will be forever perfect in every way. Christ's high priestly ministry was strong, and it was successful in terms of his offering himself as a perfect substitutionary sacrifice on our behalf for our sins. And he is presently at the right hand of the Father, where he is continually interceding on behalf of sinners, elect sinners everywhere in all generations, because his ministry is according, it says in our text, to the power of an endless or indestructible life, verse 16 of chapter 7. And this is the case because Christ was not only a perfect man, but he is also God made manifest in the flesh, the Son of God, who is fully God and fully man, two natures in one blessed person. Christ is the living God and the Prince of Life. As John 10:18 says of the Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus indeed saying of him himself, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again." So this, his life as both God and man, is an endless one, which qualifies him for that fulfilling of that part of his high priestly office where he intercedes for his people, and he is their advocate with the Father. You see, even though Jesus in his human nature did die upon the tree, nevertheless, his spirit he commended to God. And as God, he still, during all of that time, had the power of an indestructible life. And that is the glory of what we're talking about here this morning. The Father has given him to be our high priest, and he has become our advocate with the Father. He is our mediator. He is interceding for us, even now, at the right hand of the Father. If we sin, if we fall into sin, if we perceive sins in our heart and our actions, we have an advocate, a living advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. If any man sins, it is so. So this is the importance and significance of your seeing the Lord Jesus in this way this morning, that you can always come to him by faith, not thinking that you have to do something to prepare yourself or something to make yourself look good or to look better in God's sight, because God knows exactly what you are like in your heart and your actions and where you have sinned and fallen short and where you are doing his will and keeping his commandments. So I'm saying that the Lord, the Father, has given the Lord Jesus as a perfect man and mediator the power of an endless life in terms of his human nature. And even he himself is the power of that endless life in himself for all of his people. And in this regard, he ever lives as a priest. And the perpetuity and the continual virtue and efficacy of his righteous life and sacrificial death goes on, I'm saying, bestowing all these spiritual blessings upon God's people forever. The Lord Jesus did not come according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but as one sent from God the Father, as the only begotten of the Father from all eternity. And then in his incarnation, he was born into this world to fulfill all the righteousness of God's holy law in accordance with the Scripture, so that he might minister to all of God's elect people as their high priest. Psalm 110, verse 4, the Father declares concerning him, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." That same text says, "The Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." So Christ was not, as the priests under the law, appointed without an oath, but rather he was sworn in, as it were, to his high priestly office with the oath of God, his Father, himself. And he continues forever in an unchangeable priesthood. And therefore, he's able to save to the uttermost all those who come to God through him. So Christ was, in his incarnation, born into this world without sin in his nature. And so it says in verse 26 that he was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. And he does not need daily, as those high priests of old, to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the people's. But when he came in his earthly ministry, he offered himself up once for all. The one who was perfect was made perfect. He was perfected through sufferings and thus has been perfected forever. And as it says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, he became the author of eternal salvation to everyone who will obey him, as he was called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And so we should not be dull of hearing, my friends, but we should receive this good teaching, which shows us how to preach to others the uniqueness of our Lord Jesus Christ in his perfect person and work, the one who freely offers salvation to you who may be hearing me today, if you've for the first time seen yourself as a sinful person who needs grace to be saved, can't do it themselves, can't change your own heart, can't take away your own guilt, can't set yourself free. But the Lord Jesus, when you come to him, and when you come to the Father through him, will give you the gift of eternal life through the new birth. He will then enable you to exercise saving faith. And then you will be saved because you exercise that faith in his person, in his finished work. And all will be well with your soul. And you will know that your salvation does not rest upon yourself, but upon the Lord Jesus. And so how thankful we ought to be this morning that Christ was the power of an endless life, an indestructible life. And it's because of this, then, that he can give you the power to live a godly and holy life and persevere in it, beginning even now, even today. So join me in prayer. Father, we ask that you will come and bless the hearers with understanding these things that I've spoken, that they would take heed to their own souls to draw near to you, Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, to find salvation in you. And as Christians, we pray that we would see the real security that we have as believers, that even if we sin, that our sins can be forgiven, we be cleansed on a daily and ongoing basis, and we find renewed spiritual life by the power of the Holy Spirit working in our hearts, enabling us to do and keep your commandments in a way that is pleasing to you by faith. So we pray that you will impress these truths upon the hearers today and enable them to draw near to you even now, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for listening.